Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Homegrown sounds this afternoon, 41 after 1, that is your time. Hlen Dombela, I love South African sounds. My Family Take Heart is the track title of that one, playing in your background and bringing us straight bang, smack into the middle of conversation. Now, you will remember last year, September was a good month for languages in South Africa. That's when we saw Parliament sign a bill which made the sign language an official language here in South Africa. And of course, behind those efforts was the Pan-South-African Languages Board. And almost a year later, we want to find out how has that worked, what is happening, what are the developments. And of course, we want to keep in touch with the board to find out what is the progress on the agenda of developing languages in South Africa. Mr. Julius Dandile joins us on the line. He's head of languages at the board. Mr. Dandile, thank you so much for giving us your time and welcome again to Radio Pulpit.
Thank you, Ayanda. And listeners of Radio Pulpit.
Yeah. So how?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon. How are you keeping? How's winter keeping you? How's things going? It's a pity we're not on TV. You and I can't sign this conversation, but that's fine.
I was given a solace by somebody to say, if you don't get sick in winter, that means you are not living.
High five.
So you must get some sort of fever and all that. That then your system is alive and you are alive.
Oh no, I take back my high five. I thought you were saying if you do get sick, then you know it means there's something you're not doing right. No, I take back my high five. So I'm a
no. You are living. You are alive and you are active. So your body, your system responds to the condition, to the weather condition.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, yeah. So we definitely don't agree there. I'm that sister that's constantly bugging people ahead of winter. Please take care of yourself. Please don't be. Let's not see with you that winter is coming. You know. But anyway, look, I agree with you. Our bodies must respond to changes around us. Mr. Dandile, first of all, you know we don't get to say this enough. In the languages space, I think we really don't tell enough of those good stories. I mean, a good story that I really want to keep alive is, of course, the adoption of sign language as an official language here in South Africa, which the board, the Pan South African Language Board, was really, really championing and well done again and again and again. Now, let's just go back to other languages and just the work around the development of languages. How's things going in that space? How are we doing?
Let me start also to congratulate our government for that initiative almost exactly a year ago.
Yeah.
This day, when the president signed South African Sign Language must be an official language.
Mm.
Officializing a language is a process.
Sure.
And you have the campaigns before the officialization, and then the processes that have to be followed after the officialization.
Mm.
But I'll simplify this by saying that any language, for it to develop, it must be used.
Wow.
You will never be able to develop a language that you don't use. Forget it.
Mm.
And therefore, we need to see the South African Sign Language being used in higher registers, like school, like in commerce, like in trade, like in courts. Not just only in terms of interpreting, but people getting information, original information in that particular language, so that they can have a better understanding of what is going on in that particular environment, especially in public space. The constitution of this country makes it an obligation to the state to provide such information. yes, then if there is a lack somewhere, you can then, which is and the second option, provide interpreting. However, you must start first by checking that this a process, whatever process it is, be you at Home Affairs or be you at the police station writing an affidavit, it must be first checked whether you cannot write that in your own language, which you understand best.
Sure.
Now, let me take a typical example in a court of law. A court of law that is in Giani, in Polokwane, where everyone that is the either the magistrate, the defendant, the complainant, everyone that is involved in the case in the court of law can speak one language, which is Chitsonga. Why then do you go and have interpreters for that particular situation? So that is where then the issue of the use of the language becomes critical. So for sign language, we are going to see it more and more utilized in these higher genres, not only on the basis of interpreting, but making sure that the information provided is originally from sign language. Those are the steps that we are going to work on. We are busy working also on the proclamation so that government can be able then to be forced to consider South African Sign Language as an official language and provide resources and budgets accordingly.
You know, Mr. Dandile,
we are working on that.
Yeah. You know, you've just triggered something. In the early childhood development space, we learn that it takes anything between 13 to about 18 months for children, for example, to learn a language and for new speakers to learn a language. There's a time period in which people are able to absorb language, right? And this is spoken language, which we think, I mean, we're socialized to believe that it's easier to learn a spoken language. And then you have sign language, which is not a spoken language, which is absolutely, it's almost like a subculture here in South Africa, because I know that community. And so what we are then saying is that we would like to see the development of this language. How are we going to do this, Mr. Dandile? And what are some of the infrastructure does our country need to put in place, whether it's cultural or hard infrastructure? What does that space look like in terms of preparation? What do we need to do?
Yeah, fortunately, when we talk about the infrastructure that is required, legislation first, which is the constitution, which is the supreme law of the country, has allowed this. Now, what you need to do, the second element, is to look at whether the other laws, the legislations that exist now, are they then accommodating this? And then we have found that they do. Your use of official languages act, for instance, on behalf of government. And then that act makes compulsory for any organ of state, especially at national level, your national departments, your public entities that provides services on behalf of government or a department, those it's a must for them to have a language unit. It's by law. Each department, each public entity must have a language unit, must have a language policy that guides it on how to implement its own language preferences. And then that act, act from the Constitution. And the Constitution says that at least government, all government organs of state must use at least two languages, official languages, for government purposes. But the Act, which is the Use of Official Languages Act, says no, that is not enough. Government, especially national government, must use at least, which is a minimum, it's a must, a minimum, it's an obligation that they must use at least 3 official languages.
Wow.
Now, in the language unit, in the implementation process, then that is the information that people should have. Their policies, the policies of the national government, the national departments, public entities, should then comply with that particular 3 languages. So there's no government institution that is supposed to provide information or any service in less than 3 official languages. What is preferred by PENSAG? Minimum 6. We have 12 official languages now. We are advising the state that at least minimum 6 must be used at a given time, so that people can have access into information, especially when you talk about written documents. When you provide translations or other form of written documents, then that those must be at least minimum in 6 official languages, chosen depending on the context, on the practicalities, on the region where these people are. We know everywhere in the world, people in a particular region speak a particular kind of a language, and then in a particular region is different and stuff like that. So we have to take those things into consideration, and that's what the Constitution is saying.
Right.
So and also looking at the issues of the cost. Now, once the departments have done this, now this is what is existing in terms of its infrastructure. Now, I want us to be aware of civil society, especially for the sign language, your DEFSA, your SANDA, and other associations and other companies that provide these services. However, I'm going to put a proviso now to say, however, whether these laws exist and this language unit exists or not, what is critical is that people demand to use their languages.
If people are not demanding to
use their languages, nobody is going to care about developing and using that language. Remember, in order for you to be able to develop a language, you must use it to identify the gaps that are existing in that particular language. You cannot just develop it for the sake of developing it. You must develop it in context and in how people utilize that particular language. You don't sit in an office or at a university somewhere and think and decide that what happened in 1986 when a certain professor was given a name, HIV and AIDS, to translate, and he said, "What does this thing do?" No, it's a disease that kills young people, and they call it in Sikosa Okaolayo. And people rejected that kind of term and the concept, and they continued to look at other concepts. And then AmaZulu came through and said, "We have a name for this particular word, and we know this particular kind of a disease. And long time before it was discovered, we call it Ingulaz. Today, you can go across the Nguni languages, even within the Sotho languages. Once you talk about Ingulaz, people know what you are talking about.
Wow.
Now, what does that mean? It means that language should be developed in use when people are able to look and see that this is how we do, this is how we speak. Yes, we can formalize it in that way. So that's how language works.
Sure. What a lesson, Mr. Dandile. I mean, wow. My family, it is 5 minutes before the top of the hour. We'll probably take a minute or two right after 2 o'clock. I want to keep Mr. Dandile, because I'd like to also engage on the recent press release that was released with the PENSAG indicating its intention to engage Parliament, you know, with regards to the use of languages other than just English. and Afrikaans at that high institutional or even constitutional body. Now, let's come through, Mr. Dandile, and talk a little bit about your intentions to engage Parliament, especially following, you know, those videos that were circulating around some of the proceedings in Parliament, which we're not going to get into. But let's talk about the standpoint of the board with regards to Parliament's responsibility towards exercising its own constitution and regulation around language.
That is a good example of how people and government and state institutions behave.
Right, right.
A month ago, or before then, the 29th of May, on the 28th and the 27th and the 26th going back, you would go and look at the videos across the board of those 400 members that are in Parliament now. You would go and look at them when they were conversing amongst the people. Mm. Which languages they were using?
People's languages.
They were using the languages of the people.
Yes, yes.
They were not using English. They were not using Afrikaans. They were using the languages of the people for them to be understood, to be understood, so that they can be voted for. Mm, right? Mm, mm. Now, they get into Parliament. Within a month,
it's changed.
Hardly 2 months that we voted them into Parliament. Most of them, including those who are presiding officers, have already forgotten about the people, that they were talking to them in their own languages.
Mm.
And that is the phenomenon that we find in this country, which is a problem because people want to engage on the topics that Parliament is dealing with. Parliament is a representation of people. Those people are there, are voted by certain people who are voting for a particular party or a particular individual candidate to say, go and represent me there. When that particular person gets into Parliament, what does that particular person or political party does?
Hmm.
Changes the language. Speak a language that is not understood and eloquently spoken by almost 70% of the population. 70% of South African population cannot speak English properly, and you have seen it in the videos. You have seen it, and people that we think are brilliant. They've been in this government for a long time, like Honorable Minister Pirima Jodina, get there, and then an English word come into the space. She cannot pronounce it properly.
And
then what is the meaning of that oath? Does it have value?
Wow.
Does it go into his heart? Yesterday we were saluting Mandela when Mandela said, when you speak to a person in his own language,
Yeah.
It goes to the heart.
Right.
But when you speak to that person, in a foreign language, it goes to the head. So most of those things that they were saying there, they are going to their head.
I'll tell you what.
I'll
tell you what, Mr. Dandile. Allow me, please, to go to the news and to keep you on the line and get back to you straight after the news. We have to process this conversation, if you would, please. My family, it's exactly 2 o'clock. Let's take the good news bulletin at the top of the hour. You already know that I'm absolutely triggered by this conversation. And let's conclude our conversation with Mr. Julius Dandile, Head of Languages at the Pan South African Language Board, on the other side of the news. What a conversation. Before this conversation, we were, what's the right word, mild or even blend, you know, in our approach, you know, to languages. Then today is the day. Let's all please go and learn a new language. Let's exercise what we proclaim to believe as South Africans. 2 o'clock is your time, my family. Let's cross over to the news.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now. www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.